Psalm 18. I love the book of Psalms and how God moved on people to write songs about life. We surely got something to sing about. The Psalms are not always uplifting and happy songs. Sometimes it's songs about the discouraging times. But I'm glad that in the midst of the discouragement, there can be some help and some happiness. And that's kind of what we're finding out in this psalm that I'll be reading, just one verse. Psalm 18, verse 48. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. It's amazing how David worded this psalm, this one verse. He delivereth me from mine enemies. David hath some enemies. Probably this is talking about when Saul was after David, wanted to kill him, put him to death because of jealousy. And it was a mighty enemy. There's no doubt about that. Saul was the king, and he had at his disposal just about anything he needed to absolutely make sure that David's life was ended. But God spared him. He said, he delivered me from mine enemies. Thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. He says, some stand up to me, but you lift me up a little bit higher. And then he says, thou hast delivered me. You have in the past and you're going to in the future from the violent man. I want to look at those words that says, thou liftest me up. Thou liftest me up above those. I'm glad that God's in the lifting business. I want to look this morning at this psalm. Upwards living. Upwards living. We ought to live on an upward plane. We ought to have our attitude and our attention toward those things that are upward. There's a whole lot of things to look at downward. And my friend, I'll tell you, when we get to looking down, we're going to end up on a downward path. But I'm glad in spite of enemies, in spite of difficulties, in spite of burdens, in spite of pandemics and everything else, we can look upwards. I'm glad there's something to look at that's better than what we're facing here in this world. Upwards living. I notice again that David here is talking about Saul, and that's his enemy that's fighting him and trying to bring him down. For us, it's not a Saul maybe, but it is a Satan. The devil wants to wreck and ruin. The devil wants to get us down. The devil wants us defeated. He wants to get us to looking down instead of up. He wants to take us down instead of letting us go up for the Lord. There's a Satan involved in our lives, but there's also self involved. To be honest, we don't hardly need the devil. We do enough damage ourselves. We discourage ourselves enough. We defeat ourselves enough. Our old flesh, our self. There's no doubt. If we let it have its way, it's going to take us down. There's not only Satan and self, but there's society. This old rotten world and all that's involved. The thinking and the mentality of the world is an earthly thing. It's a discouraging thing. And if we're not careful, we'll let it get us down. But I want to say for the saint this morning, there's an upwards living. There's an upwards look. I thought about first the word justify. That means brought up. Brought up. Psalm 40 verse 2. He brought me up. Also, out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. David says here, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. God brought me up. He's talking there, that horrible pit is a hole in the ground used for a cistern. But sometimes they'd start leaking, or sometimes they just wouldn't be used. And they would use that hole in the ground as a prison. And they'd throw prisoners or people they wanted to harm down in that pit. And I want to tell you something, it was a horrible experience. There was a hole at the top of that cistern, and it allowed water to get in and mud to gather at the bottom. So you not only were down in the pit, but you also were down into the mud, stuck. And that's what he said. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And friend, that's a picture of sin. That's a picture of us before we knew the Lord. We were slaves like that person in the pit. We were slaves to sin. We lived for sin, and sin controlled our lives. It doesn't matter how moral we were. It doesn't matter how good a people we were still sinners, and sin was our master. We were slaves to sin, and we were slaves to self. We wanted to do what we did, and for the most part, we did. But we were also slaves to Satan. Little did we realize that Satan controlled our lives. We loved wrong. Again, you may have been a moral person, but I guarantee you one thing. You didn't live right, and you didn't really love right. But I want to tell you something. Even though we were down in that horrible pit of sin, and we were a slave to Satan and self, God helped us. He helped us when we couldn't help ourselves. One thing was sure, down in that pit, you could not crawl yourself out. You couldn't scratch your waist to the top. If somebody didn't help you, you'd stay there and die. And friend, that's how we were. We were bound by sin and Satan and self, and we could not help ourselves. We were condemned and heading to hell. And by the way, could I remind us? We deserved it. I deserved to go to hell, but I ain't going. I thank the Lord for his justification. That means he brought me up. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The word justified means to declare righteous. That sinner has been declared righteous. We have been declared right with God. That's not based on our goodness. That's not based on our deeds. That's based on his righteousness and his work. God has put to my account his righteousness. I have his righteousness to my account. Psalm 18, verse 48 says, he delivereth me from mine enemies. Now, Saul was David's enemy. But friend, I want to tell you something. We also had enemies. It's bad to have an enemy. It's bad for anybody to be your enemy. But it's worse when that person who is your enemy has authority to hurt you or to cause you harm. Saul was a mighty king that had the authority and the power and the wherewithal to cause David a lot of problems, even put him to death, and no one would have said a word. It's bad to have enemies, but when your enemy has authority or power, it's even worse. When your boss is your enemy, you're in trouble, because that boss can say goodbye, see you later, alligator, and you've lost your job. When the judge is your enemy and you're standing there guilty, you're in trouble, because he has the law and he can put it all down and make you serve the longest sentence that he's allowed. When the warden is your enemy, you're a prisoner and the warden doesn't like you. And he tells you when to eat, how much to eat, and what to eat. When he tells you how long you got to stay in your cell, he tells you if you got a blanket or not. When that warden is your enemy, you're in trouble. When you have an enemy that has authority and power, you're in trouble. And friend, I want to tell you something. We're an enemy to the devil, but has it occurred to you lately we used to be an enemy to God? Romans 5:10, we were enemies. Colossians 1:21, enemies in your mind and wicked works. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. I tell you what, it's bad to have a boss or a judge or a warden or a king that's your enemy. But I want to tell you something. When we've got an enemy called God, we're in trouble. There is no hope. There is no help when God is against us. But I'm glad that even though he used to be my enemy and I was his, he justified me. He brought me up out of that cistern of sin. And I'm glad Romans 3:24 tells me, being justified, there's the word, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. I have been justified freely by God's grace. He didn't come to the top of the cistern and says, now you do the best you can and I'll think about pulling you out. He didn't come to the top of the cistern and say, now pull yourself out of the mud by the bootstraps and I'll think about helping you. No. He saw us as we were and He brought us up out of that cistern of sin. Romans 3:28, we conclude that man is justified, there's the word, by faith and without the deeds of the law. I didn't do a thing to get saved. I couldn't do a thing to get saved. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He brought me up. And listen, when He does that, when He justifies us and declares us righteous, a sinner all of a sudden becomes a saint. The godless person all of a sudden becomes a godly person. The drunk becomes a disciple. The prostitute becomes pure. The criminal becomes a citizen. I'll tell you, there's a difference when you get brought up. I'm talking about upwards living. David said, He delivers me from mine enemies. Thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. I'm glad for the word justify. It reminds me of being brought up. But I also have another word in mind. Not only justify, but sanctify. There's another spiritual word, another doctrinal word. Sanctification means to set apart, but it also means to make holy. So I'll say this, justify means He brought me up. Sanctify means He's cleaning me up. He brought me up and now He cleaned me up. I'm glad that we who know the Lord have had a work of sanctification begun in our lives. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't be afraid of that word predestination. By the way, that is not a word that deals with lost people. The word predestination deals with saved people. Look at what the verse said. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's talking about people who are saved. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get in, He gets to working on you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. He said, this is my will, that you be sanctified. And that you abstain, there He used fornication, for example. But we could substitute that, say, for anything. Anything against God, He wants us to abstain from. The word sanctify or sanctification means to set apart. When they built those items for the tabernacle or even for the temple later on, God said, this is for my house. And it's not to be used for any other means or any other reason. And if you use it for any other reason, you're going to make me mad. Sanctify means that table or those wicks or those lamps where it could have been used anywhere else had been set apart now for the use of God and they were to not be used for any other reason. That's sanctification. But it also talks about sanctification as far as a person. We are sanctified. And that means, watch out, to make holy, to make clean, to make pure. I'm telling you, when Jesus saved us, He brought us up and justified us. But now He's cleaning us up to sanctify us. There's positional sanctification. Means our position in Christ is secure. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's positional sanctification. He made us as righteous as God because He put His righteousness in us. Listen, if you're a saved person, if you're a saint, Positionally speaking, you are no longer a sinner. We are saints and not sinners as far as our position. I've said it before when I first started to learn to upholster. I was an upholster as soon as the man hired me. But I'll tell you what, that was my position, but it sure wasn't my practice. If you saw my first few pieces of furniture, you'd say, this fella is anything but an upholster. But I had the position, and listen, my boss wanted my position to be an example of my practice. That he wanted me to look like an upholster and act like an upholster, not just draw a salary of an upholster. And that's what God says about us. When we got saved, he made us a saint, and he says, now I want you to live like it. So it's not only positional sanctification, but there's practical sanctification. That means after we're justified, he begins a work in us, cleaning us up, making us like Christ. What did the verse say? He has also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. His work of practical sanctification is him daily cleansing us, cleaning us, dealing with us, trying his best to make us like his Son. That's a continual work. Listen, a continual work to make us what we already are, righteous, to make us clean. Now, sanctification is different than justification. Justification, listen, is God making a sinner right. Sanctification is God making a saint right. Justification is God making a sinner right. He gets saved. She gets saved. Sanctification is God making a saint right. Sanctification is something that continues to work. Now, justification, when we got saved, that's a one-time experience that's never to be repeated. But sanctification is something that's continual. If you think about a timeline, you've seen timelines before sketched out on a graph. The timeline of our life begins at justification when we got saved. But the line itself is sanctification. In other words, it begins at salvation, but it continues through the rest of our lives. That deals with our desires. Do you know that God wants us to have clean desires, right motives? He wants our inside to be right. He wants us to live right. Sure, he does. But he wants us to be right. We didn't have that before we got saved. We have that old nature that didn't care about God. But now that we've been justified, God is trying to sanctify us to where we'll be right and live right and please God. The desire that you have in your heart to serve God, to please him, to do right, that came from God. That desire to live for him and please him, that's a desire of sanctification. And when we don't do right and it grieves us, that's the work of God. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? That was God's work of sanctification, saying, Paul, I want you right, and when you aren't, I want you to know you aren't right. It deals with our desires, but it also deals with our deeds. It means, sanctification means separation. Separation from evil. Separation from the world. The flesh, the devil. He wants us to be right, desire right, but he wants us to do right. Jesus is praying in John 17, in verse 17 he said, sanctify them, there's our word, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Again, the word sanctify means to purify or to clean up. So he's saying purify them, clean them up, through thy word. How can we have a desire to be clean? How can we be clean in a filthy world? By getting in that book and getting that book in us. The psalm said in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he answers his own question by taking heed unto according to thy word. You keep yourself clean by staying in the book. Jesus said when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see God. I'm talking about being sanctified. I'm talking about looking up, upwards looking. Friend, we all too spiritually want to have a desire and a willingness to serve God better every day, to be more clean every day. Our desire, our look, our focus should be upward and not downward. And again, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in the heart. He said, it's not just outward, but it's inward purity. I want you to be holy, and I want your desire to always be more, always growing, always getting higher, going up, wanting more and more to be holy. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. As he is holy, we are to be holy. Romans 6:14, for sin shall have not dominion over you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, changed into the same image from glory to glory. Changed. Now, we can change, but be going downward. There's a whole lot of people that are not doing what they used to do as far as the Lord's will. They used to serve God, love God, do right. Now they're not. Their path has gone down. Have they changed? Yes, but they're changing the wrong way. We need to want to change in the opposite way, going up. And it says they're changed into the same image from glory to glory, from God helping you to God helping you, to God helping you to God helping you, going up and up and up. Every problem we face, we trust God to keep us going and do right. When we're tempted to do wrong, we trust God to help us to do right, and we keep on going. And our path goes upward instead of downward. Now, that's what God wants. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, I do know one thing. Paul says, I know one thing for sure. The one who started this good work in me is not going to stop before I get to the end. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you and me, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God started the work of sanctification in our lives when we got saved. And friend, one day we'll go to see him, but we're not there yet. And God will continue that work. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I say God wants it, but not only does God want it, he's working on it. He's working on our sanctification. That's one of the reasons why you go through what you're going through, because he wants to make you more pure, more clean, more sanctified. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it. He's the author. And he's the one that's going to finish it. He's the finisher. It's up to him. This work of sanctification is a work that he does in our heart and lives. It is not something we do ourselves. It is not us turning over new leaves and making sure that we convince ourselves and we grit our teeth and we're going to do better and we make commitments and New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. Listen, it is us saying, I am a hopeless without the work of God. I can't do a thing. I must trust God. We had to trust him for our salvation. I'll tell you one thing. We have to trust him for our sanctification. Paul was talking to the Galatians and they were thinking about going back under Judaism, that law. And he said, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? He said, are you telling me that you got into this thing by the Spirit and now you're going to make yourself perfect? Are you going to do the right thing through your own flesh? Paul says, you are foolish. It ain't going to work. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that works in us to even give us the desire. If you have any desire to do God's will, it's because God has put that work of sanctification at work in your life, and that desire has come from him. a desire to be godly, a desire to do His will, a desire to please Him that comes from God. But listen to me, He doesn't stop there. He not only gives us a desire, the will to, but He gives us the how to. He says the will and to do. So He not only gives us a desire, but He empowers us to do it. He empowers us to do it. Our role is to believe and to trust. That's what we did at salvation. That work of justification, you believed what God said about a sinner, you, about hell, judgment, about Jesus, His payment for you. You believed that and you trusted that. You relied on that. You called on Him and He saved you. He forgave you. He changed you. He birthed you into His family. That work of justification, only thing we did was believe and trust. We submitted. And listen, the same thing's true of sanctification. We believe what He said. I can't live right by myself, but He can help me. And He's working in me right now to make me what I need to be. Believe that and trust that and submit to His work. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey. He says, know this, whoever you yield yourself to, you will be that person or that thing's servants. And that's what He's saying. Yield yourself to God and His work in your life. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He said, don't yield your members to stuff that's wrong, to unrighteousness. Don't give yourself to the junk you gave yourself to before you got saved. But He continues and says, yield yourself unto God as alive from the dead. In other words, if you're a Christian, act like a Christian. Give your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Give yourself to Him. Submit to Him. Paul said, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. That's what we're talking about. Sanctification means holy. It means clean. It means He's cleaning us up. And I'm glad that's true. He wants us to learn how to improve by letting Him do His work in us. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. That every one of you should know how to possess His vessel in sanctification and honor. He says, I want you to know how to live right and live clean. I want you to have knowledge to know how, and that means you got to trust me. Oh, we ought to seek after holiness, there's no doubt. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness. We ought to flee sin and follow holiness. There's no doubt about that. We ought to desire to live clean for Him. But friend, I want to remind you, that's His work of sanctification. I've talked about justify means brought up, and sanctify means clean up. And I've talked about how the fact that there's a positional sanctification and there's a practical sanctification, but I want to say real quickly, there's a permanent sanctification. One of these days we're going to get glorified. Romans 8:30 says, whom He justified, remember that word, them He also glorified. I thank the Lord for that. He says, if you're saved, one of these days, I'm going to get you out of here. He is sanctifying us right now to clean us up. But one of these days, He's going to sanctify us out of this world. We're going to be gone, gone, gone. Positional justification means we're free from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin was sending us to hell, but He justified us. I'm glad. He did that work of sanctification. That positional sanctification removes us from the penalty of sin. That practical work of sanctification means He's removing us from the power of sin. as he works with us daily, he's removing that power of sin from our lives. And then lastly, that permanent work of sanctification, glorification, that means it's going to be gone. We're going to be gone with a new body. So let me close with this. Why is sanctification so important to God? Now, it ought to be to us. We surely know that justification is important. We need to be saved. But what about sanctification? Why is that so important to God? Why does God want us clean? Why does he want his people clean? I've got two or three things. Well, really, four. First, communion. God wants us clean because he wants to commune with us. He wants us close. And he cannot commune with us, not really closely, if we're not clean. How many times do you want to just hug up onto somebody if they're hot and sweaty and dirty and stink? If you've gotten cleaned up and everything's fresh and you got good, nice clothes on, do you want to hug somebody that's sitting on the street that stinks? I doubt it. Do you even want to hang around somebody like that? I doubt it. Well, could I say this in a nice way? I doubt it, but I'll say it anyway. God doesn't want to hang around some old stinky bum. He wants to commune with us, and if we're going to have that experience, we need to be clean. So God wants to sanctify us for a very good reason. He wants to commune. But not only communion, but I thought about this. Sanctification is important to God because of comfort. He wants us to be comforted. He wants us to have peace of mind. And the only way that's going to happen in this world, in this life, in these bodies, with our minds, is to be right and clean spiritually. We cannot have his peace without his sanctification. We cannot be calmed by the Spirit unless we're clean. He wants to sanctify us because he wants to comfort us. He wants to comfort us in such a way to where our troubles and trials do not burden us, but we can keep on trusting him. And the only way he can do that is for us to be clean. When I think about why sanctification is so important with God, I think about communion and comfort, but I also think about conduct. I mean by that, he wants us to live right. Now, there's a lot of reasons, but I thought especially about this. He wants us to live right in this rotten world because of our testimony, how important it is. It is a dark, dark world. And like never before, at least in our country, there's a need for light. We need to be the light in a dark world. And the only way we can do that is by being clean. John 10:36, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, that's what we are. That's who we are. He sanctified us after he justified us, and now he sent us into the world. And one of the reasons why he wants to be us to be sanctified and why sanctification is so important is because of our conduct. Because people are watching us. People are listening to us. Our family, our friends, our work acquaintances, the people across the street. Listen, they are watching us, and God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be sanctified because of communion and comfort and conduct, but then also control. He wants to control us. Now, does that sound bad to you? Well, if it was Satan, it would. If it's the warden, it would. If it's some old mean boss, it would sound bad. But I want to tell you one thing. When it's a loving father, his control is not a bad thing. By the way, can I remind us, it's either him or us. He is in control of our lives, or we are. He wants to use us as a tool to accomplish his work. And the only way he can do that is that we let him control us. And the only way he can control us completely is that we're clean people. Friend, I want to tell you something. We are believers if you're saved, and that means we're on the way up. We ought to be upward living people, not discouraged, not downhearted, not going downward for sure. Our lives ought to be ever upward, It began with justification. When he pulled us up, he brought us up. It continues with sanctification while he's cleaning us up. And I'm not anywhere close to done, but I'm going to be done. Thank you for being here this morning. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, and I mean this as honestly as I can, I want to ask you a very important, the most important question. I ask you this. Do you know you're saved? I have a burden for people, not just our church, but all churches, that come to church, go to church, act churchy, but are not really saved. It's easy to act. Jesus said he wanted those that are pure in heart. In other words, not just act right or talk right, but be right. And the only way we can be right is being saved. Do you know for sure that your sin is under the blood? Can you remember a time in your life that you called on the Lord and he saved you, forgave you, birthed you into his family, and made you different? I want to tell you, there's nothing more important than that experience. I want to ask you, are you saved? Do you know it? If not, as I pray in just a second, in fact, you don't even have to wait on me, will you call on the Lord right there in that house or in that that car or wherever you're hearing this later on? Will you call on the Lord right now? Don't wait. Don't put it off. But I want to ask you another question. What about sanctification? Are you living clean? He saved us and brought us out, brought us up, but he's now wanting to clean us up. Does your life reflect the life of Christ? He said we're being conformed into the image of his Son. How far down the road of that work has he brought you? Oh, we need to be upward people, upward living, ever living closer, ever living cleaner. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to continue the work. I know you will, but Lord, we want to get on board. We want to go with you in this work of justification. I pray, Lord, if there's someone listening, I ask you, God, to deal with them, convict them, and save them. May they call on you right now and give them the assurance that you've saved them. But Lord, as far as sanctification, I ask you, God, to do that work. May we get in line with the work that I know you're doing and submit to it, not resist it. But Lord, may we be upward-looking people because you want to bring us up. Thank you so much for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.